I'm another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What?
Come on. Get that set.
I was in jail, too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to Crossroads. This is our regular time every Tuesday. Crossroads is brought to you by the Pacifica Radio Network and is heard around the world. We want to thank everybody who's been calling in, writing, texting, emailing us from around the globe. This is really quite an experience to get this kind of response worldwide. Thank you for tuning in to Crossroads. We're making it one of the most successful programs dealing with criminal justice on the air. We want to thank you. We did something last week. We went to a couple of programs that were really phenomenal. But last week, we've been mentioning Duda Darrell about a friend of ours who passed away, who had a heart of his heart was full of kindness. And when anything he did for people, he didn't want nobody to know. He didn't want you to take credit for it. Just do something good for somebody. Help them cross the street. Open up somebody's door. Make somebody smile who's feeling down. Even though you're feeling down, you can pick somebody up by doing the Darrell. So we got a thing going. And believe me, folks, we've been getting phone calls everywhere we go. Folks were saying, I did the Darrell. I'm doing the Darrell. I did something with somebody. Just do something with somebody and don't ask for any recognition. Don't accept nothing. Just do something good for somebody once a day. We do it every day, all day long. Sometimes we get cursed out. It don't make no difference. Do the Darrell. Do something good for somebody. Here we go. We're going to start. We're not doing the Grapevine this morning. We will be doing a piece on Marion Barry. Okay, Brian, you can turn it loose.
In the summer of 1979, a young mayor made a promise to his city that no kid in Washington would ever spend another summer with empty hands and empty pockets. His name was Marion Barry, and his promise became a movement. That first summer, 25,000 young people, a paycheck, a purpose, a reason to wake up. They swept the streets. They answered the phones. They learned what it meant to be counted on. For more than four decades, the Marion Barry Summer Youth Employment Program has placed a first job in the hands of hundreds of thousands of D.C. youth. A first resume, a first uniform, a first taste of dignity. Earned, not given. Ask any of them, the doctors, the teachers, the entrepreneurs, the mayors who came after, and they'll tell you where it started. A six-week summer, a name on a badge, a city that believed in them. This was Marion Barry's vision. This is his greatest legacy. And every summer, in every neighborhood, it lives on.
That's about Marion Barry, the folk. We need that right now, because we've been talking about these youth all over the city. They don't need curfews and restrictions and institutionalized. They need jobs. They need hope. They need wraparound services. So what Marion did 40 years ago is still continuing, but it needs to be expanded. Keep that in mind. Our kids need money. They need jobs. They need dignity. They need a purpose. They don't need to be arrested and institutionalized or criminalized and incarcerated. They need jobs. They need help. Their families need help. It's sad that we can talk about the reflection pool, but nobody reflecting on how our kids are starving and dying and being arrested. So let's keep that thing, Marion Barry Summer Youth Job alive, but we need to expand it all year long. Kids need money, not just in the summer. They need money all year long. So we're pushing that Marion Barry Summer Job Program. Please keep it going. We need to make sure our kids have a better chance at tomorrow than some of us had. Our topic this morning is returning citizens elected, a returning citizen elected clerk of the Circuit Court of PG County. This is a phenomenal achievement. They're doing the primaries and all this election campaign, and everybody go to jail because of laws. And laws is what put you in, and laws is what bring you out. So we had a victory. We had victories all over the country. Returning citizens have been running for state legislators. We got a returning citizen down in Richmond who's the Speaker of the House, Don Scott. You got Youssef in New York, one of the Central Five who ran, who got locked up, and Trump wanted that, took out an ad in the paper asking them to be executed. And later on, they found that these guys were innocent. They did time, 10 years and more. Now he came out and ran for city council, and he's elected. We got returning citizens all over the country participating in the electoral process. In PG County, we got Alonzo Turner Ray, who ran for clerk of the court. We got a lot of Calvin Hawkins, city councilman, former city councilman of PG County. He was in Lawton. So you got a lot of folk running with criminal records trying to make things different. And this morning, we have our own in the backyard, Kiana Johnson, founder and executive director of Life After Release. She's a graduate of the University of Maryland. She's the founder and the director of Life After Release. And she's also with our good friend, Andrea James, with the National Council for Incarcerated and Former Incarcerated Women and Girls in Boston. Andrea ran for governor in Massachusetts. So you have returning citizens all over the country participating in the electoral process. And this morning, we have one of our victorious winners in this area in PG County, Miss Kiana Johnson. Good morning, Kiana, and how are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I am doing better than amazing. I am so happy. And again, I'm elated to be able to talk to you because I've been on this show so many times. But now I'm on the show as Madam Clerk-elect for Prince George's County. And I'm so happy.
Let us clap to that. Just hold a minute. Let's clap to that. Come on.
Madam Clerk-elect. Love it.
Yes. So, yeah, thank you again for having me. You know, I'm on my way to a meeting, but I said, wait, if Roach calls, I'm going to answer that call.
Thank you. As you said, you've been on our show many times, and lady, we are so proud of you. I know the last time we ran into you down in New Orleans with Fox and Rob. Every time we turn around, we see you someplace. Nikichi just got back from Ghana. You young ladies are all over the place, and you're racking up victories. You're making tremendous strides. And we are so proud of you, Kiana Johnson, for winning this election in PG County as the clerk of the civil court. Lady, that is quite an accomplishment. How did you even decide to run for clerk of court? What is the role of the – come on, let's start off. How did you decide to run for clerk of the court and win, lady, with a criminal record?
That's a very good question. And I, when I answer this question, a lot of people are surprised. But I did not just wake up last year. I wasn't poached by any political parties or structures, to run for this particular position. It really started when I was, was incarcerated, and there was I did 6 months longer incarcerated because there was a mistake or there was some type of clerical error between the clerk's office and the records department at the prison. And it caused me to serve 6 months longer incarcerated. And a lot of people don't know that about my story, but that was something that I tucked away and kept with me. And, you know, I would always fantasize and think about, wow, what if I could be a part of this system so this doesn't happen to anyone else? But I was too afraid. I was triggered. I was too scared. I didn't want to be a part of the very system that I believed that, you know, the very system that put me away. I didn't want to be nothing, no parts of it. Right. I didn't want to be a part of the position at all. And so instead, I started a court watching program. A lot of people knew about the court watching program. I trained a lot of Prince George's County residents to be able to watch the courts. I've watched over 5,000 court cases in Prince George's County. And then I started another court watching program in DC with Harriet's Wildest Dreams. We started that court watching program. And we started that court watching program, and I've helped start many court watching programs across the country. And so I consulted on that. And then, you know, as I start to see just the level of things that were happening that impacted our community, I said, you know what? I can be a part of this change from the inside. You got to put this fear away and you got to move forward, because this level of advocacy on the inside with my knowledge of my lived experience and being able to go into the system to be able to be a part of it and a voice from the inside will have a tremendous impact for our community at large. And so that's what made me finally decide after almost 7 years to actually go ahead and run for this position.
All right.
So, you know, there's this whole concept about those closest to the problem or those who are closest to the solution. And I think that you have epitomized that, particularly with all the various Court Watch programs, you being co-conductor of Harriet's Wildest Dreams, you being the founder and ED of Life After Release. You've used your lived experience to really make a difference in the lives of many others. I'm just curious, what led you to found the Life After Release organization, and how does that fit into everything that you're doing now, that you will be doing with respect to on the circuit court as clerk?
Yeah, so I founded Life After Release shortly after coming home. It started as a resume clinic inside of a library, and it evolved into what it is today. And one of our core programs is our participatory defense. And our participatory defense, as you know, I know you know Raj and the Silicon Valley Debug, who's one of my mentors. And so that particular program that we started at Life After Release, we've been very successful. We've worked with we brought home Willie Hamilton, who was the very first juvenile lifer of Prince George's County, who we were able to bring home almost 5 years ago. And that was phenomenal. And being able to like work with individuals to work on their cases, to understand what a discovery is, to understand how to talk to your attorney, how to do a social bio packet so the judge understands that you're more than just a number or a file or a case number, that you're actually a human being. And we've been so super successful with that particular program and with at Life After Release that we've actually been able to save over 70 Prince George's County residents, state of Maryland residents, we've been actually to save over 5,000 years of prison and jail time. And I think that, you know, founding Life After Release and being able to do that type of work and showing our community members that you can participate in your own defense and helping them to navigate the courts was another reason why I wanted to be a part of the change on the inside of the clerk's office. A lot of people don't believe me when I tell them the amount of people that I've come across who have to go turn themselves in because they did not receive a notice in the mailbox told them that they have to go to court. So now we're talking about technology and efficiency that is now being used to issue a bench warrant because someone did not get the clerk's office or did not change the address in a timely manner so that this individual could get their notice in the mail. Now they have a warrant out for their arrest, and it could stem from a traffic offense. A traffic offense that you didn't know you had to go to court for. Now you're driving down the road, you get pulled over, and your life changes.
That's powerful. Awesome. You know, I've been, Keisha and I, Merck, we've been doing this for 4 or 5 decades, and I never focus in on the clerk of the court and the role that the clerk plays in terms of the grand jury, the witnesses, all the documentations, habeas corpus, all documents that go to the court has to come through the office of the clerk of the court. I understood that, but I never saw the significance of it until you ran and I delved a little deeper in it. And it seems that that is a key function. We were talking about having judges and being tried by your peers, like this little 17-year-old boy down in Texas, Carmelo Anthony. He went to trial with supposedly with a jury of his peers, but there was no black people on it. There was no kids on the jury. He's 17 years old. Mm-hmm. When I hear being tried by your peers, a juvenile should have juveniles or his peers, not his peers who are supposedly be peers, on the test. And these documents, like you said at the beginning of the show, how you did 6 months or more longer because of the incorrect paperwork or whatever. And I've had a similar experience. I did extra time because what the court said and what the prison record said was two different conflicting things. And that can devastate you, keep you in for life or longer. I'm glad that you decided to go after this clerk of the court. I never knew the really significance that anything that comes to that court, as you just said, warrants, forfeitures, foreclosures, everything that affects you that you go to court on has to come through your office. That is a key. That's like the heart of the criminal justice system is the clerk of the court. Everything flows in there and out. And lady, I'm glad you had the vision, the tenacity, and the expertise to run for this position. How do you see how you can make a difference? What ways can you make a difference? And by you being a former returning citizen, now you are elected as a clerk of the court, civil court in Montgomery, I mean, PG County. What difference?
Well, absolutely. Well, first and foremost, let me put it in perspective for people who are still having a hard time understanding that the courts, that the clerks are the justice keepers or the gatekeepers of justice. Just think about it as the clerks are the nurses of the courthouse. The judges may be the doctors. I mean, but the clerks are the nurses, and without the nurses, that courthouse would not function. If every clerk, there's 200 clerks, about 200 clerks in Prince George's County that work there. Most people don't know that, right? They're no name. Nobody knows who they are. But I can guarantee you that if those clerks decided tomorrow that they were not going to come into work, that they were going to go on strike, that they were not going to come into work, we probably would have a problem on our hands. We probably would have to close down that courthouse. And I want to start from the inside out, from everybody understanding just how valuable each and every clerk is to our system and of justice. And I want to be able to start from the inside out, because I believe that people, you know, even some of us that go into that courtroom, we don't give the clerks the respect that they deserve. You know, we don't give our nurses, the nurses are, when we had COVID, the nurses were the ones on the front lines that were, you know, doing the work. And so are our clerks. And so I want people to understand that our clerks are very important. And so that's one of the things that I want to do, is to be able to make sure that the clerks are getting what they need to be able to do their jobs effectively and efficiently. And so then after I move from the inside and going into to the outside, one of the major initiatives that I would like to bring to Prince George's County is an initiative called Seals on Wheels. This particular initiative will put some of our courthouse functions onto a mobile unit and take it into some of our marginalized areas, or some of our areas where our seniors and those who are disabled to be able to do things such as getting married, right? Getting your marriage license, changing your name, getting your handgun permit, or getting your some type of license that you may need to get, your expungement, right? Taking this community unit, Seals on Wheels, into our community. This is not a far-fetched idea. It's already being done in Manassas, Virginia, right? We can do it in Prince George's County. And so that's one of the initiatives that I want to be able to do to bring to our courthouse, because I believe that we can have a community-based courthouse that puts our people first, and that starting with our clerks. And that's what I believe.
So this is, I love it. I love hearing all of these innovative projects that you are speaking of. I just have a question. I'm in DC, not in PG, so wasn't part of that whole voting thing. But for a position as powerful as this, and you being a formerly incarcerated person, did you experience any type of blowbacks or anything along those lines with respect to your candidacy?
Absolutely. I received some of the nastiest blowback, some of the harshest criticism. There was times where I would cry, and I would cry by myself, and I would say, Lord, you know, this is hard. And that was one of the reasons why I stayed away from it too for 7 years, because I was like, man, I'm not going to purposely put myself in this particular light. But I had to do it. And then, you know, it was just very difficult. And unfortunately, when Black women go away and when Black women are incarcerated, our society treats the way that they treat women, period, all the way around the board, from when we come home, from when we go into come home, there's so much grace given to men, right? There was a couple of men that's running. They didn't receive that type of blowback. They received they want a second chance. Let's give them a second chance. But when a woman particularly a Black woman, engages in that, we don't get that same level of grace. And so, you know, I've taken that. I've taken all of the concerns. And what I realize is a lot of those concerns were just based in fear. Right. They were based in fear. They were based in either racism or anti-Blackness. It was based in those things. And so that wasn't mine to hold. And I had to separate myself and understand that I have been doing the work for 10 years. I have been trusted by our community. I have been trusted by elected officials. Right. I have been trusted by people. And so I can't let that distraction of all of those negative things that they're continuing to say about me. Right. People are congratulating me with my mugshot. Bless their hearts, right? And I'm just going to keep moving forward, because that is not a reflection of me. It's actually a reflection of the person who's doing.
There you go.
So, yeah. You know, you mentioned about the differences with respect to women money versus men money. I know that you have been a member and are a member of the National Council for Incarcerated and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls, which Roach mentioned earlier. We mentioned Andrea James. I know we all were in Puerto Rico a couple of years ago. And, I know since that time, or before that time, I forgot her name, Tijuana, I think, over there in North Carolina, was running, got elected. Fox Rich was running. She didn't get elected, but she was running. Kimber Smith got that parole, position. So it appears to me that women, Black women, progressive activist Black women, yeah, are really seeking political office. Can you kind of speak to that? I'm talking about the activism part. I mean, you're talking about Harriet's wildest dreams. You're talking about the National Council. You're talking about all of the organizations that you are a part of. You're not just a middle of the road. You are an activist and an advocate. So speak to that aspect of the elected officials and any problems that you might have faced as a result of your strong activism.
Well, what I think, and I know for me particularly, is that we realize is that we have a powerful voice, and we can be on the inside. You know, there came a time for me where people just started to write me off. When I would come in the room, they'd say, "Oh God, here comes Kiana. She's gonna talk about it for a little while, and then she's gonna, you know, go away. We'll deal with her again when she comes back, and you know, comes back to talk about it." And so, you know, when you're an advocate, you do a lot of talking about it. You know, when you're an activist, you may shut down a couple of streets. You may go down and do some protesting. You may do a couple of rallies, you know, and that's kind of like where you live. I mean, change does come, but that's kind of the extent of where you live. Now, when you go into, and what I have realized, and I think some of my sisters have realized, is that now we can take that and we can go directly to where the policy is. We can go directly to where the laws are being change, and we can hold that. We're not going for that political power that most people go into those offices for. They're going because it's self-serving. They're going to get political power and recognition. We, however, are going now because we realize that our voice and that our impact now has a different type of impact. And so for me particularly, I know that I can go into this office and I can tell people to go and do not ignore your jury duty notices. And it's going to have a different level of weight now that I'm the clerk of the court explaining to people that your jury notices are important to you. It's going to have a different weight level, and different people are going to start to look at me rather than just my typical people who've been looking at me, you know, as an activist or as an advocate for so long.
Mm-hmm. You know, before I was doing a roll call, I just don't want to forget LaTanya Tate over there in Alabama, also another formerly incarcerated woman who was part of the National Council, who is an elected. So go on, Roach. Yeah.
I wanted to add, you mentioned, we heard some of the mean-spirited things that were said about you during the campaign, and it hurt. And they were focusing on your criminal record as opposed to your abilities or capabilities and what you could do to bring about a change for all people. It's not just about people with criminal records. The clerk provides services for everybody that walk into the court. Any document got to come through the clerk's office. And to hear them jump on your criminal history, the background, not your capabilities or qualifications, and it hurt, knowing that you said before, you'll be a target. That's one of the things that keep a lot of people from running, is that they're going to bring up like these negative ads about your criminal history. That don't mean nothing. Who can get the job done is what we're talking about. You know what I mean? And lady, you are more than qualified. Again, my question is, I didn't know what to do. I wanted to say something. We had our radio show. We had you on like, in fact, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, in fact. And lady, I'm glad you weathered the storm because I knew they was coming at you with all 5 feet, not four, 5 feet. And them 5 feet was all over you. But lady, you stood tall. You won. You outshined the light. Thank you for doing what you're doing. And people, this is a key, integral part of the criminal justice system. In fact, this is that you said the nurses, everything got to come through the clerk of the court. Everything, expungements, parole, marriages, everything you can think of, licenses, etc. So, Kiana, what do you see that you can do to make this thing better for those folk that come into the courts in PG County? What other changes do you see need to be done that you can bring about that make things a lot better for us coming into the courthouse?
First and foremost, treat people the way you want to be treated.
Hey, and like that's Virginia Ali, Jen's Chili Bowl.
Say that again. Can you say that again, please?
First and foremost, you treat people the way you want to be treated. That's a kindergarten lesson. Yeah. That's a lesson we learn in kindergarten. And when we lead with that, when we lead with compassion, when we lead with care for our collective care for our community, everything else will fall into play. Because if I treat you the way that I want to be treated, you know, the way that I want my family member to be treated, the way I want my grandfather to be treated, the way I want my mother to be treated, we will go very far with everything else. Everything else will fall into place. And that's the first and foremost. And I'm going to start from the inside out. Starting with the clerks, treating them the way I would want somebody to treat me going into that office. And everything else will start to fall into place. I believe that.
Okay. Go ahead, Nikichi.
So I had something just on the tip of, well, first of all, I just want to say, I know that you're a very spiritual person and you have a lot of spiritual power and a lot of spiritual protection. But I also know you have a team, you know, strong team of people that you work with, whether it's through the organizations. I know you have volunteers, you have students. Talk a little bit about what were some of the forces that kind of helped you get to where you are today, whether it's spiritual or whether it's person power.
Absolutely. One of the reasons that, again, while I ran was, you know, I had my pastor prophesied over me and told me that this was, I said, golly, I said, I wasn't really trying to do this, pastor. You know, they said, no, this is your time that you was created for a time like this. And so after I particularly had that particular encounter with my pastor, I said, okay, I'm going to move forward and go forward with that. But outside of it, like you said, I am very spiritual and I prayed on it. I prayed on it for a long time. And I actually asked God, I said, you know, you could skip me this time. I could just stay where I am. I'm comfortable. He said, no, it's time for you to do it. And so I got over that part, but the people that I've connected with that has brought me through Nene Tay from my mentor, Nene Tay we came together from Black Lives Matter DC all the way to Harriet's Wildest Dreams. My mentor, Andrea James, who called me in tears and told me that I gave her inspiration, but she don't know she's been my inspiration all this time, you know. All of the lawyers, Olinda Moyd, be the chief of PDS, Keith Lottridge, Bianca Mills, the women that I bailed. Listen, the women that I bailed out of jail that stood at post. The whole entire time when we were at those polling locations, I didn't have to pay. Not one of my volunteers were paid. Now, I didn't have the money. Not one of the people on my team were paid. And that's because the woman said to me, I tried to give her a chair. She said, I don't need to sit down. You bailed me out. You bailed me out and you believed in me. And because of you, I'm liberated and free and living my best life. I'm going to knock any door. I'm going to talk to anybody and let them know. Those are the people that brought me through and that believed in me.
You know, this is amazing. Like I said, I knew the role of the clerk of court, but I didn't understand the significance and how deeply involved it was until you ran for office and we delved a little deeper. Is there any other returning citizens holding the position of clerk of the court in this country that you know of besides you?
Jovan Jackson, who's a councilman in Las Vegas, Nevada, he just won his second term. He won his second term, even though he was attack mailers and people was talking about his background. And so shout out to him. Of course, we know that Desmond Meade is running. He's not elected yet, but I'm going to call that one. He's running for governor of Florida. Andrea James, who's running. Those are the people that I know that are actually running. But Jovan actually won his seat and that I know ran with me and won. In Las Vegas, Nevada, very first formerly incarcerated councilman of a lawmaker in Nevada. I will be in the history of Prince George's County. I will be the very first formerly incarcerated impacted person who would, with lived experience, that will be running and holding that particular office. It's historic. It has never been done before.
So I know people might want to join this conversation, but actually, Martine, go on and give the station ID and the number, because Kiana is no stranger to WPFW. Those who listen to Joni Eisenberg on Tahil DC, on Carrie's Wildest Dream is always on there. I think they are actually service co-hosts. But go on, talk to us about the station ID stuff, Martine.
Okay, this is WPFW, your station for jazz and justice. You want to know what's happening? You need to tune in right here on Pacifica Radio. If you want to call in and speak with Kiana, the number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. And not only did Kiana win this election this week, but a few days later, she became married.
Congratulations.
We didn't know that.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Can't beat that. Winning
and wait. She's the clerk of the court. Did she do your own wedding license? Seal or whatever that?
Yeah. Did you fill out your own marriage license?
I don't want no perception of any type of fraud or anything. So no, I did not. I actually went to my hometown. I'm a DC native. I was born in Washington, DC. I went to DC courthouse for a couple of reasons. I did my research and I knew that Prince George's County courts was not up to the par that I needed to have my experience just yet. And so I went to DC where I had a beautiful ceremony. It was easy. It was automated. The clerks were beautiful. They treated us with dignity and class. And so I chose to have my ceremony at DC Superior Courthouse. And thank you to those clerks who were very, very welcoming of me and my husband, very accommodating to us. The ambiance and the room was nice. That we allowed almost 15 people to witness us, and that just wasn't the case in Upper Marlboro. But guess what? When I get into that office, we're going to change that, and I hopefully people
beautiful,
will.
Wanna... Beautiful, yeah, that's beautiful. You know, we got married on Christmas Eve,
yeah,
and we went down, and they wouldn't issue the license because it was the day before the holiday. And we say, what's going on? Because we always say Merry Christmas. We wanted to get married on Christmas Day. Mm. But they would not give us a license until the day after Christmas. In special circumstances or special events that mean things to you, you have to follow these rigid, cold rules, rigid and policies, regardless of what you bring to the table. So I'm asking, do you see... What do you already said what you're going to do when you get in. Baby, I know that when you get in there, you're going to shake them up.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to roll the dice on the table, and they're going to be mad with you. And I'm so glad. When they be mad at you, they're mad at us. Because you're doing what needs to be done. Question, is there any other position other than clerk of the court that you see in the courts that we need to have our returning citizens apply for? Run for the office or whatever. Is there anything else that you see need to be done besides this clerk of the court? Because later you open up a whole Pandora box of things that everything that goes in that court got to come through the clerk. And I'm glad it's coming through somebody like you who, and you said the magic word, treat people how you want to be treated. That's the bottom line, all across the board. And is there anything else that you see that we need to have somebody focus on inside the courthouse to make sure people get a fair shake when they come in there?
Ironically, people are already trying to put me into other positions. They want to make me delegate. They want me to. I said, listen, I'm going to do Give me a solid two terms and then I can retire, because I can retire, but then people don't want to hear that from me. But no, as far as that particular positions, there may not be a position at the courthouse outside of the clerks who sit under the clerk's office. But there's so many boards, right? Try to apply to get appointed. I was a part of the governor's reentry task force. There's a lot of task force and different boards that you can be a part of. So if you don't have the courage, or you just say, I don't want to necessarily be an elected official, find another table to sit at. You don't have to be an elected official to have a voice. You can sit at some of the boards. They have different reentry boards. They have different task force and things that you can be appointed to. So go to the website of your particular jurisdiction, Maryland.gov or DC, to see, what are some of the positions that may not necessarily be elected, but may be appointed by the governor or may be appointed by the mayor, that you can actually sit and be a part of, that would allow you to have a voice and be able to use your lived experience to make our community better.
But you know, Kiana, Maryland, you guys have made a profound statement, like Walter Lomax, Alonzo Turner Bay. You guys are doing amazing feats in short amounts of time.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
And what's the sister's name? Johnson. She's been on the show a couple of times.
Dr. Carmen Johnson, yes.
Dr. Carmen.
Oh, our good friend. Oh, yeah.
Murchis says something that folks in PG County are making all kinds of phenomenal strides and steps to make things better. As we drive through the city, all I see is big campaign posters, and most of them are black women that's running for office all over the county. I've been working in campaigns since 1979 with Mayor Walter Washington. I've never seen this heavy a donation or concentration of black progressive advocacy women working to get elected and to bring about a change. It is mind-blowing. And as Murray said, with Walter Lomax, Dr. Carmen Johnson, Stanley Mitchell, All these guys are doing phenomenal, phenomenal work. And we thought D.C. was leading in the front, but PG County is taking over the leadership. Alonzo Turner Bay ran for the Democratic Committee. He did 31 years in prison. He ran for be elected to the Democratic Committee. And this guy been out 5 years, and he's also the director of the Office of Returning Citizens in PG County.
Yeah.
So you're seeing men and women making phenomenal strides, not just for themselves, but to get in a position where they can help others less fortunate than them. And that's what it's about. Treat people how you want to be treated. And if you've been mistreated, you know how to treat people when your chance comes to give out the treatment. So this is what we're asking or been pushing. And Kiana Johnson, I think that's 3 years ago, we ran into you down in New Orleans with Fox and Richmond program.
Yes.
I saw you coming down. What's that street, that famous street down in New Orleans on?
Bourbon Street.
Huh?
Bourbon Street.
Down Bourbon Street. And I didn't have a drink. I was drinking Kool-Aid, Kiana, but I wanted me a bourbon. But we was on Bourbon Street, lady, and I saw you and Charles Thornton and everybody. It warms your heart when you see people who are committed, and they go all over the country. And they keep you going all around the world making a difference, making an impact. It doesn't matter what you do. Just do it because you believe it's right. You're being fair to people, and you're treating people how they need to be treated. I don't care what title you have. Treat me how you want to be treated.
Lamont Carey out of D.C. Y'all just doing it.
Yeah.
Let me just ask you about Parent Watch in D.C. Joe, do you do any work with Joe Patterson? I know that she does a lot with the court system and all, at least in D.C. Is there any synergy between D.C. and PG in terms of, watching and monitoring courts and practices and stuff?
Absolutely. Mama Jo is, I love Mama Jo. I consider her a mentor as well. Everybody that you've named, I've built a relationship with, and I know, and she does great work, and she understood early on when she talked to me and told me how long it's been since she started Parent Watch. I was like, wow, that concept, I thought that I was new to this concept, but when you do your research, you'll see that Black Panthers, they did Cop Watch, and they did these different watches because, you know, they understood that when people are there, people act differently. And so when we have that type of presence or that type of people watching the courts or watching the cops or watching the jails, they act differently. And so I believe that, that program that she has is a wonderful program. And I applaud her for that. And I thank her for doing it and for mentoring me in some ways of what she does.
So Kiana, Ike from Baltimore has called in and said to tell you congratulations. You know who this Ike, or it might be E-K-I-K-E, Ike from Baltimore?
I think so. I think so. Thank you so much. Baltimore showed up. Let me be very clear. Baltimore has been leading in reentry as well, and done some phenomenal work from the mayor on down. And they showed up. There were some people that came out to work the polls on my campaign, Nicole Mundell, that came out from Baltimore because they believed in me. They believed in the work. So thank you, Baltimore. And thank you, Ike.
All right.
Okay. Is Ike still on the line? He's gone. Okay. Kiana, I know that everybody that gets arrested and get court documents, you go to prison. One of the problems inside of prisons is the calculation of your time and how much good time or credit you get off of your sentence based on your behavior inside the institution. How will you interact with the prisons? Because now, like in the federal system, the record office is the keeper of your official time when you've been scheduled for release, parole, et cetera, or whatever. What kind of relationship are you planning on having with the prisons? Because the prisons are the keeper of the body and also the keeper of the time, and they release you. And sometimes there's a disparity between how much time you got, how much good time you earn, how much time you've lost during how much time you've been forfeited based on bad behavior. What kind of relationship do you see that you can develop with the prisons to make sure that they honor what you did when you came out? They gave you the wrong information. You stayed locked up 6 months longer. How can prevent that from happening to other folks?
By coalition building, the records, and that's one of the problems. The records department is independent of the clerk's office. However, they get their information from the clerk's office to put in their records, right? And to store their records. And so coalition building, and that's something I've learned on being a community activist or a community advocate. I learned that we can't do anything alone. And there's too many silos within the very system of the courts, within the judicial system. The records department don't get along with the clerk's department, and the clerk's department don't get along with the registrar of wills, or they don't speak, their systems don't talk, or what have you. And so I plan to go in and start to build strong coalitions so people understand that every file has a person attached to it. And I want to build that coalition. I'm already on several different coalitions that involve the jails and the prisons and things of that nature. So just being able to be in strong coalition and building that ecosystem so that we don't have these massive mistakes that impact people's lives so greatly.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious, as an elected official, clerk of the court, are you able to still do your work with Harriet's Wildest Dreams
and
the Life After Release? Or just how does that work? And if not, how are you going to be able to ensure that that work will be able to continue?
Yes, I transitioned from Harriet's Wildest Dreams to the board of Harriet's Wildest Dreams back in November when I decided to run. So I got off of I'm not on that anymore. I don't want any thing to be perceived as any type of conflict of interest, but I've built some very strong teams. So I will be stepping down from Life After Release as well. But I've put some very strong people in place, but I won't be able to lead that effort anymore. But that's the good thing about passing the baton. We gotta pass the baton. And so I'm passing it on to individuals who's been a part of the organization for a very long time so that that work can continue as I move forward. So, yes.
I know that based on your experience, I guess this is obvious. I guess you're going to have an office within your office that would deal with those complaints from the people inside the institution who's been held illegally, unjustly, or wrongly because of misplaced documentations or the documents ain't been filed in a timely fashion. What do you say to that in terms of making sure that those men and women who need, like in your situation, access to their documents to get out of prison, would there be an expedited service in your office in terms of expedited or non-expedited? What can be done as a relief for those men and women in prison right into your office.
Absolutely. One of the things that community has taught me is that sometimes we need rapid response. And so one of the things that I would love to be able to do once I analyze where we are and assess the office is that we have a rapid response team, because some things just are urgent, right? Some things are urgent. And so community has taught me, you know, when I have to bail women out, get out of my bed at 1 o'clock in the morning and bail somebody out, or go down when someone is, being arrested. You know, community has taught me that some things I have to do rapidly. And so I will be looking into some type of committee or some type of team that will do rapid response. What I also will be interested in doing is creating a community advisory council so that the community is always a part of the work and always understands, so that we always have that community always has that touch or that reach to the clerk's office.
The number to call is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Call them with questions or comments. This is an important topic. It may not seem as such on the top on the paper, but lady, this is crucial. You need paperwork to get into prison. You need paperwork to get out of prison. And how fast that paperwork is passed, expedited, means you may stay locked up longer or may not never get out if your paperwork is included. Is there any clerk of the court office in the country that you've looked at that you would like to model what you're doing and getting ready to do in PG County that can help effectuate a more efficient clerk of the court office in terms of the services they provide in PG County?
Yes, and hopefully she's listening to me. The Manassas Courthouse Clerk Jacqueline Smith is doing, in my opinion, has been doing an amazing job, and I've been looking at our office for a while. And I think that that would, if I had to tell folks what I want our office to look like, I would want our office to look like the clerk, Manassas Court Clerk's office. And then, of course, you know, I've been studying clerks all over the country. You know, I've been studying Louisiana, where we had our clerk who one of our brothers who was elected, who they gave hell to. Who is still fighting right now. You know, they abolished his position once he was elected, and now he has to probably rerun again because they combined his position with another position. But that office in Manassas, Virginia, where we have our very first Seals on Wheels in the country, is one of the ones that will be looking for inspiration, And so I believe that, you know, Clerk Jacqueline Smith is doing an amazing job as a clerk. And I believe that she puts people first. And I believe that, you know, I would like to have her be a part of my transition team if she has the capacity to do so. But definitely that would be a clerk's office that I would like to see in our office.
You know, one of the things that just popped up in my mind is that when you have a division or connect inside of the institution or, like you said, a rapid response unit, there's some kind of unit where those folks who have urgent or emergency situations can access your office to get the necessary documentation to expedite their case.
Oh, and before she answered, just want to let you know that Ike from Baltimore called back, and he is on the lines. I know our time is tight, so I just want to make sure we know he's on the line.
Let's put Ike on before you answer. Come on, Ike.
Belated Happy Mother's Day to you ladies, and Happy Father's Day to you too, Roche. I just want to compliment that lady and say congratulations. And to your assistant that you have working with you, Roche, this show has improved 100%. I want to ask a question. In reference to we're fighting for reparations for 50 million black people in this country that deserve reparations, are the people in and out of prison still qualified? Or are they going to try to leave them out? Because you could imagine, if we could get reparations for 50 million black people in this country, what that money would do in our communities?
It would make them safe. The crime rate would go down. There'd be less shootings and killings.
And I just want to add that mass incarceration, the criminalization of a race, is one of the key tenets of our current day reparations efforts, which is not just related to the enslavement era, but the legacies of the enslavement era, of which mass incarceration is a big part. So thank you, my brother.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And see, one more thing. See, I went up to Upper Marlboro to get some information one time, asked about some things. And racism is systemic and institutionalized, and white supremacy is live and well up there. because she, a woman can't, a white woman didn't want to answer my question, she had me locked up. I said, that's okay. I can handle that. I'll just do that day and get out. But see, this is what I'm saying. Black people are being mistreated by the court systems, and we need our reparations money, because if you got money and we start suing, they'll stop mistreating us. And God bless y'all, and keep up with the good work, and I'll be listening.
Thank you.
And Baltimore,
thank you.
I'm glad you said what you said, Ike, because, Tiana, we know the courts are racism. The criminal justice system is racism, and full of all that juggy-boogie. You know, we're tired of the juggy-boogie. And you're going to encounter some more. Like I said, when you ran for this office, later, the negative ads I heard and how they came down on you and your past and your record, it made me feel so bad. And I said, lady, just hang in there, bite your tongue, and you can make it. And you did it. Racism is going to be a big, wait a minute, let me stop. We got another call on. We take the next caller. Come on, question or comment, please. You're on the air.
Jan, you're on the line.
Merry Christmas, and congratulations to Clerk Kiana Johnson.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. I had a beautiful experience with a clerk up at Elkton, Maryland. I was actually married there in that courthouse, and I'm feeling so much passion and joy from your new position. I just want to congratulate you and let you know that we're looking forward to all that you're bringing to that office.
Thank you. And I'm just happy.
Thank you. Go ahead, Nikichi.
Oh, actually, no. I'm going to put it back to Kiana, because I think she had some things she wanted to say just before the callers called in.
Come on, Kiana.
Yeah, so just to say that, you know, folks who have a background, they have been trying to take us out of a lot of things. There's so many different collateral consequences that are attached to individuals with backgrounds that you wouldn't even imagine. I mean, even when my father died, I wasn't allowed to be an executor of his estate because of my background. So because of my background. So when we talk about reparations, and we talk about those who are formerly incarcerated being excluded, just know that, I mean, we're excluded from so many other things. We're excluded. We just changed the law in the state of Maryland to make sure that we can get on juries now. I was a part of changing that law, that we were excluded from juries. We were excluded from housing. I helped change the law in Maryland, so now that we're not any longer excluded from housing. So there's a long laundry list of things that individuals who are formerly incarcerated are excluded from. And so that is what my voice, my lived experience and my voice does, and what it brings to the table. Well, and so as far as, yeah.
Yeah, no, I said we got 2 minutes, but JT's on the line. We want to get another one in real quick. JT's on the line, Roach.
Come on, JT.
This is KC, brother Roach.
Okay, KC, my bad.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. What I wanted the sister to take a real hard look at, what is destroying black men in Upper Marlboro Prison. In that system, that court system, is the child support system. It is wicked. It's crooked. They're not being fair to the men, and they are destroying the brothers with that child support system. It's the most wicked system in the United States, in Upper Marlboro.
Yeah. Well, absolutely, and it starts with paperwork. And that within the clerk's office, what we can do, we will do what we can do through the paperwork to make sure that it's not more restrictive for our people. Period.
And one of the things that's really bad is the fact that you lose a parent and you're not able to have final rights over your parent. Losing parents while you're in prison, that is just awful, the way that's handled.
You know, that's one of the things that we've been fighting on in terms of when a parent, a mother or female goes to prison and she got a kid, depending on what state she in, they take that baby within a week or a few days or whatever. And if you don't have anybody to step up to the plate to take custody of your loved one, your baby, you might lose custody or rights to your kid for the rest of your life. And this is one of these issues that we've been fighting for years. There's a lot that needs to be done. Lady,
so much.
Of all the people we've heard that got elected, Kimber Smith and Youssef Salim up in New York, I really feel
elated about your position and what you're doing, because, lady, we need people like you to make things better for us less fortunate. I want to thank you, Kiana. You want to give us some closing arguments before we go? We got a couple of minutes.
No, just, you know, I my promise to the people is that I will remain for the people. And just understanding that, again, we want to treat people the way that we want to be treated. And don't leave me now that I'm elected, right? Continue to hold me accountable. Continue to support me, right? Don't just abandon me once I get in there, because there's still going to be things that I have to do, and I'm going to need the support of the people. So don't abandon me. Hold me accountable and continue to support me throughout my administration.
We got
we're
you,
here.
Sis.
We're here for you, Nikichi, Martine, and I. And we don't want no jiggy boogie. You know what I mean?
No jiggy boogie.
Looking forward to those seals on wheels and rapid response and all of the like. Yeah. Love you, sis.
I want to thank you. And congratulations to you getting married to Tiana Johnson, the new clerk of the court in PG County. Lady, we are so elated and proud of you, and we expect great things. But most importantly, you said the magic word, treat people how you want to be treated.
Yeah.
That's the key. That solves all this jiggy-boogie stuff.
Like
that. So we want to thank you for joining us this morning, Tiana Johnson. And you want to give a number how people can reach you if they want to contact you?
Right now, I'm in transition, so if you want to contact me, please, info at kianaforclerk.com. Send me an email, right, and I will definitely get back in touch with you again. Please email me at info at Kiana, Q-I-A-N-A, forclerk.com.
Thank you.
All right.
And remember, this is Crossroads with Brian, our engineer, Nikichi Martine. And remember, your inner voice is never wrong. People, don't quit. I don't care what it is. Just don't quit. Hang in there. And Merry Christmas.
The Pacifica elections are underway. Help keep your station strong by nominating and voting for national and local station board members. Your donation of $25 or more on your station's website between July 1st, 2025 and June 30th, 2026 will secure your membership and eligibility to nominate and vote. Please donate before June 30th and you will get a Nominate Now email or text with candidate information from Pacifica Foundation, Inc. Confirmed candidates will be on the August 15 Pacifica Foundation ballot. More information about Pacifica elections, candidate registration, and the candidates can be found at elections.pacifica.org.
The Institute for Policy Studies invites you for the timely film and discussion, What's Hidden Behind the Headlines of U.S. Charges Against Raul Castro, on Tuesday, June 30th, starting at 7 p.m. There will be a screening of the film by the late IPS fellow and filmmaker Saul Landau, Will the Real Terrorist Please Stand Up, which chronicles half a century of hostile U.S.-Cuba relations and tells the story of the case of the Cuban Five, intelligence agents sent to penetrate Cuban exile terrorist groups in Miami. More information how to RSVP can be found on ips-dc.org/events. WPFW is your station for jazz and justice, building a better world one broadcast at a time.
WPFW, Washington, 89.3 FM.